How can we live a fruitful life? Or maybe we can put it in more modern terms, and we can say, well, how can we live a productive life or a successful life? If you consider a Christian on yourself, then you may say, well, how does it look, a successful Christian? And you may have some examples or images in your head. You may think, oh, maybe a successful Christian looks like that person that you are thinking right now. Or maybe looks like someone who is very involved in church activities, who is doing a lot of things, who is just working for church all the time, and who you knew that if you go to church, you will find that person there. Maybe that's your image of a successful Christian. But what does it really mean to be a successful Christian or a productive Christian? Maybe when I was converted, when I came to the faith, I was really excited about what Jesus did in the cross for me. It was great. I discovered it. Jesus died for my sins. I was so excited. But of course, the next question to that was, what shall I do now? What do I have to do? My inner Catholic in my country, Argentina, my inner Catholic was telling me, what do I have to do now? And of course, the people that was there, I asked them, they told me classic things. Read your Bible. I was like, I remember I approached an older folk and he was like, what should I do? Read your Bible. I was like, the most obvious thing for him, but the most new thing for me. And pray and serve in the church. But is that all? It's just that. Is that what it means to be a successful Christian? Just to do the things that people tell you to do, or the things that evangelicals, Christians, people who go to church do? Read the Bible every day, pray sometime. We're coming to this room again. We stopped off coming to John for a few Sundays, and now we are in this room. You remember? Jesus is in a private room with his disciples, and he has been teaching them. The disciples so far, they've been asking questions. Oh Lord, I would like to know what is the way. Oh Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus has been answering the questions to them. But now the questions stop. There is no more questions. There are no more questions coming from the mouth of the disciples. The only thing coming now is the teaching of Jesus to the disciples. And this is the teaching. I would like to check two things today about what Jesus says about being a successful Christian. Please look with me at verse 8. This is what Jesus tells the disciples. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. So that is Jesus' words in terms of what does it mean to be a successful Christian, a follower of Jesus. It means someone who is going to bear much fruit. And in verses 9 to 17, he's going to explain that. And he's going to teach us two things. Number one, being a successful Christian or being a real Christian means this, that you remain in Jesus' love. That you remain in Jesus' love. Read down with me verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. It's just extraordinary. Jesus is saying the same love that I have with my Father is the same love with which I love you. And the command that comes from the mouth of Jesus is remain in that love. It's not any kind of love. It's the same love that God the Father and God the Son had together. It's an eternal love, if you want. And the question is, so, well, what does it mean to remain in that love for us. And Jesus answers that in the next verse. Check verse 10 with me. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So Jesus is basically telling us how to do it. My father was a really bad teacher, and he taught me how to drive. And his methodology was really, really straightforward. We get in the car together. I was in the driver's seat, which in my country is on the right. And he told me, now turn the car on. Okay, turn the car on. And now drive. And that was all his instruction. So I took the car back and I almost crashed with a wall. So that was it. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus is completely different. He is telling us the exact example that he wants to set for us. And it is this. That in the same way that he kept his Father's commands, he remained in his love. So how do we remain in Jesus' love? Well, the answer is by keeping his commands. And when we hear commands, I know what you hear. You hear a burden. That's what you hear probably. Oh, that's what I hear when I read the verse. But it's not just a burden. Check verse 11 with me. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Basically, what Jesus is telling his disciples is, obeying commands is not an end in itself. It comes from a bigger motivation, which is joy. And that's very interesting, because when we think in commands, it's like, oh yeah, I have to obey commands. But do you find any joy in obeying commands? There must be people who find joy in obeying commands and say, oh, okay, I haven't lied today. Yeah, I feel more happy today. Or, you know, something like that. But actually, Jesus is saying, it's not saying, obey commands and you will have joy. His motivation is, I know the Father. I have a relationship with the Father. And because I want to please him, I want to obey him. And joy is then ground in the Father, in knowing him. And he's telling the same to us. So he's telling us, have your joy in Jesus. Ground your joy in Jesus, and then you can obey his commands and you can remain in his love. You see, it's completely different. These disciples were going to be alone. Remember that. They were going to be with Jesus. They weren't going to be with Jesus anymore. Jesus was going to go to the cross and then was going to go to the Father. They were going to stay alone in the same probably position that we are. And they were wondering, well, how are we going to live? How are we going to show Jesus to the world? How are we going to obey? And Jesus is telling them, I am leaving to you the same joy that they lived. I am leaving to you the same life that they lived, which is a life of joy based in a relationship with him. And that is the key. So it's not obeying commands for the sake of obeying commands. It's obeying commands because we know the person who is speaking to us, and that is our Savior. So what does it mean to be a successful Christian? What it means to remain in Jesus. And joy is found in doing whatever Jesus tells us to do. And that is our joy. But remember, it's not just doing things or a busy life or being busy at church. It's about hearing Him. It's about knowing Him. It's about having the same relationship that God the Son had with God the Father while He was on earth. And now we in earth, we have the same relationship with God the Son, and we have a joy in Him. That's number one. Second, how does it look like to be a successful Christian? Or how can we be fruitful in this earth? And the second one is by loving Jesus and others. These verses are great. Check with me. Verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So Jesus is telling us now His second command, which is love one another. And in what way? In the same way that Jesus loved us, which is He gave His life, He laid down His life for His friends. And that is amazing. So if we want to define love, so if someone would ask you, oh, what is love? Well, Jesus is defining it here, and He's telling us, love is this. Verse 12 and verse 13. To lay down one's life for one's friends. But it's actually not right there. He'd been defining love before in chapter 13. When He approached His disciples and He told them that you have to serve one another, that you have to love one another. So Jesus, instead of running away from all the disciples who were sinners, He kneeled and He washed their feet. He showed them that He had a humble love. And He's telling them, that is a love. And it's a sacrificial love. So it's a humble love in chapter 13. It's a sacrificial love here in chapter 15. There is no greater love. And actually, when we think about friendship, that is the way. We have a very high view of friendship in Argentina. You wouldn't call a friend anyone. You just would call a friend to one or two people. So in football in particular, they are very disappeared to call some person a friend. And that is messy, and that's what's happening in our national team. So if you watch one of the matches that probably Argentina is going to win, just check this. When someone make a fault to Messi, every single player of our national team will go against the referee or against the player who made the fault because they think they are friends. So they will give everything to protect Messi because he's the captain and he's our friend. And he's the one that can give us a cup, as he did. So here, Jesus is defining friendship as a greater love, as a greater action, and is to give His life for you. And the amazing thing that I was thinking is this, read down with me, verse 14, and you are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that Jesus, the creator of everything, is telling his disciples, you are my friends. And he's telling us that if we believe in him, if we follow him, if we obey him, then we are his friends. If someone would ask you, oh, but does it mean that you go to church and that you are a Christian? What would you say? Well, it means I am Jesus' friend. That sounds very interesting, right? It may sound uncomfortable, but actually, for him, it does not. He insists. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. The reason why he called us friends, because he let us know what the Father thought and what was the Father's plan. And also because he wants us to be the same as the Father wanted him to be, fruitful. That is verse 16. He chose us so that we may bear fruit. And the fruit he wants us to bear is exactly the one he has described in verse 9 and 17. Is love, the same love that he have. It's Jesus' love for each other, for one another. It's showing others the love of Jesus. But don't think it's that just here in the church with the brothers and sisters. It goes out. It goes everywhere. Verse 16, so you might go and bear fruit. So it's not just a stain, it's that you may go and bear fruit. So the dynamic is this: he is our friend because he saved us for our sins. But that friend not only died for us, not only laid down his life for us, he laid down his life for millions of people around the world. And there is people in your school, people in your work, people in your neighbor that need to hear that a friend had died for them. And so that's the reason why we have to go to preach what this friend has done. And the key is this, the end of verse 16. So whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. He's telling us prayer is the key. Prayer to the Father. My best friend in Argentina, his name is Manuel. Very Spanish name. But we weren't best friends forever. I mean, the first year I met him, I kind of didn't like him much, to be honest. But still, I always invited him to my home to stay on Saturday so we can go to church early on Sunday because he was living far away from church. So he always stayed there. And so we will always have a dinner together. We'll have maybe some talk or maybe watch a movie, whatever you do when you're 21 years old. And then we will go to sleep. So we, in Argentina, everything is later, so we want to sleep really late. So it was time to sleep, great. But he wanted to still speak. And he told me, Brian, what do you think about blah, blah, blah? I was like, I want to sleep, mate. he was, okay, nice. 10 minutes after, he's, would you like to talk? I was like, talk about what? And he was like, I don't know, I want life, something. I was like, no, I want to sleep. I didn't want to talk. But this is not what Jesus is telling us. The Father will hear us. Whatever we ask in his name, to reach friends around the world. The Father is not a bad friend like me. The Father is a really good friend who always hears us. Jesus is telling us that he loves us, that he doesn't call us friends anymore. What is productivity? What is successful? what is being successful? I would say it's loving others with Jesus' love. It's loving others with Jesus' love and having Jesus' joy. That's a very different definition of productivity, right? Let me just finish with this. You may be a Christian for many years. You may be a Christian for just a couple of years. And my question to you is the same. What are you? Or how are you living? As a servant or as a friend? And that is the question. Will you consider yourself? In this context, in this passage in particular, I would say a servant is someone who doesn't got an intimate relationship with Jesus. A friend is one who knows everything about his friend. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. And what he is telling is, it is not about just doing things in church or doing things in society. It's about something even more important, and it's about having a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. And that is the main goal of everything. When I was starting the Christian life, that would have been really useful. It's not about doing just things. It's about knowing someone. Jesus is a person. And when you know him, he gets really present. And when you pray to him, he is there to help you. And he is telling you today, you are my friend. I love you. I laid down my life for you. And maybe if you are a Christian for many years, you have to, like the GPS, recalculate in your head and come back again to the same motivation you should have. The Christian life is not about how much you get to do and how much you success in this world. It's about how much you know him, how much you enjoy him, and how much you love like him. This is my command, verse 17. Love each other. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. What a privilege to be called friends by Jesus, the creator of the universe. He is not only our savior, but he called himself our friends. I pray that you may help us to have his same love to one another here and to people outside the church. Help us to have a sacrificial love like he did. And help us to be friends and not just servants who are busy all the time doing things without joy, just obeying, just doing, just knowing about things about Jesus, but not knowing him personally. Please help us on that, so that your love may abound in our church. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.